Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa habibana ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, one of the most special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we enjoy is the ability to make dua. Very often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates within you the desire to make dua. Very often you experience and you perceive a strong desire to raise your hands, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is perhaps the most special mercy from Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates within you the desire to make dua. And understand that that desire that you experience to raise your hands and make dua, that is directly from Allah. Allah wants you to turn to Him in that moment, either because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give you that which He inspires you to ask for, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply wants you to spend an intimate moment in conversation with Him. And that is why when you experience that desire to make dua for something, capitalize on that moment. Raise your hands, make dua to Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you what it is that He has inspired you to ask for. The Quran is replete with many du'as. The du'as of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Anbiya, they understood that du'a was not only a means through which they could have their needs fulfilled, but they understood that du'a was a means through which they remain connected to Allah. The more du'a you are making, the more connected you are to Allah. And if you are not making any du'a, then a person is very far from Allah. One of the signs of being close to Allah and enjoying proximity to Allah and closeness to Allah is that you can very easily raise your hands and make dua. Think about your relationship with a person. The closer you are to him, the more easy you find it to communicate with him. But if you do not enjoy a close relationship with someone, there's no desire to contact that person. There's no desire to pick up the phone and make a call to that person. There's no desire to meet that person. There's no desire to present a need before that person. And if there is really a need to contact him, there's hesitation. You hesitate. That denotes what? The distance between you and that person. You are not close to that person. But when you are close to that person, you look forward to meeting him. You look forward to speaking with him. You look forward to picking up the phone and contacting him. You feel absolutely comfortable contacting that person. What does that denote? Closeness in the relationship. You are close to that person. When you can easily, and at every given opportunity, raise your hands, make dua to Allah, beg from Allah, present your need to Allah, ask from Allah, speak with Allah. When you can do that very easily and comfortably without any hesitation and you look forward to it, that is a sign of closeness to Allah. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us with a treasure trove of supplications. A treasure trove of du'as. There are so many du'as that we should study, memorize, understand, and make du'a with whenever we make du'a to Allah. There is one particular du'a that I would like to share with you this afternoon. Let us try and understand the du'a. It's a very comprehensive du'a. What are we asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this du'a? The significance of this du'a? And when to make the dua, let us inshaAllah try our level best to memorize it in the Arabic language. Allah will answer your dua in whichever language you make the dua. But emphasis is placed on making the dua in the language in which it was revealed. in the language in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the dua, in the Arabic language. Much emphasis is placed on that. So memorize it in Arabic, understand it. Know what you are asking for when you're making the dua. Why? Because while your need will be fulfilled through the dua in Arabic, the added benefit is when you're making it in Arabic, it is connecting your heart with Allah. That's the added benefit. When you do it in the language prescribed by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make after Durood Ibrahim in the Salah. The last part of the Salah, before you make Salam, that is a moment wherein dua is answered by Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend lengthy times, lengthy periods during that moment making dua. Unfortunately today, there's one or two du'as that we rattle at the end before Salam and we suffice with that. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make several du'as before making Salam. Why? That is one of the most special moments wherein du'a is answered. Think about Salah. Or before you arrive at that moment, what are you doing? You are glorifying Allah, you are praising Allah. And Salah is an action which combines the glorification of Allah in word and in action. You start by raising your hands, which is an action, and denouncing everything at that time and proclaiming the greatness of Allah. Allahu Akbar. And then you engage in thana. What does thana mean? Thana is an expression of praise that you are presenting before Allah. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'jadduk. Words of praise. And then Surah Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Surah Al-Fatiha as a dialogue between Allah and the servant. And then you go into ruku. Ruku is an expression through which you are displaying your servitude before Allah. And in ruku, you are glorifying Allah, subhana rabbi al-azim. Then you go into sujood. Aqrab ma yakunu al-abdu ila rabbi wa huwa sajid. The closest you will be to Allah in this dunya is when you are in sajda. And there you are glorifying Allah, subhana rabbi al-a'la. Then when you sit in the last rak'ah, you are presenting a greeting before Allah, At-tahiyyatu lillah. And then you recite durood and you send salutations upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now you arrive at the end of your salah. After all of that, glorifying Allah, praising Allah, bowing before Allah, prostrating before Allah, now you arrive at that moment where dua is answered. There's a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make. Obviously, if you want to make a dua during that moment, it must be in Arabic, number one. And the dua must be a prescribed dua, either from the Quran or from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the dua that we would like to discuss and understand this afternoon? It is a dua with At-Tabarani, rahimahullah, and even Al-Imam Al-Nasa'i. According to the narration of Imam al-Nasa'i rahimahullah, according to that narration, it states that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make the dua in salah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed a close companion of his, Shaddad bin Aus, radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Ya Shaddad, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ فَكْنِزْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْكَلْمَاتِ. A time will come, O Shaddad bin Aus, where people will be preoccupied and they will be interested in accumulating and collecting and storing and investing the treasures of this world. When you witness that, people are so preoccupied with collecting and accumulating the assets and the material things of this world, then you should accumulate these following words. Treasure them, preserve them, memorize them, utter them, make dua to Allah through them. Why? Because what you are asking for in this dua is far greater than the treasures and the wealth and the material things of this world. What are those words, O Shaddad bin Aus? Allahumma inni as'aluka al-thabata fil amr wal-azimata ala al-rushd wa as'aluka mujibati rahmatik wa azaima maghfiratik wa as'aluka shukra ni'matik wa husna ibadatik wa as'aluka qalban salima ولسانا صادقا، وأسألك من خير ما تعلم، وأعوذ بك من شر ما تعلم، وأستغفرك لما تعلم، إنك أنت علام الغيوب. The first thing you are making dua for, اللهم إني أسألك الثبات في الأمر. Oh Allah, I ask you for thabat. What is thabat? I ask you, oh Allah, to keep me firmly established upon al-amr. What does al-amr mean? All of deen. Not only my ibadat, but all of deen. My mu'amalat, my monetary engagements, in my dealings, oh Allah, allow me to consistently remain upon deen. Al-thabat, firmly established upon all of deen. In my social interaction, in my behavior, in my character, in my ibadah, that's the first thing I ask for, al-thabata fil amr, consistency in deen. Understand that a dua is never answered if the dua is not followed up with actively pursuing that which you make dua for. It's pointless making dua for something but not actively pursuing it, not making an effort for what you are making dua. It's useless. The dua does not prove to be effective. There was a student who had a sheikh, and whenever he met the sheikh and his ustad, he would say, "Ya sheikh, make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me pious children, healthy children, obedient children." The sheikh said, "What a beautiful dua you have requested from me. I'll make the dua for you." And he makes the dua for his student, and months go by. And one day the sheikh, he asks the student, "Has Allah blessed your wife with any children?" He says, "I have not yet taken a wife. I have not yet married." The ustaz said, "You are one kebab, you know that. What's the point? I make the dua. Months have gone by. I'm making the dua, you are not making the effort. So when I'm asking Allah for a thabat fil amr, oh Allah, give me consistency. Allow me to remain firmly established upon all deen. Thabat fil amr means regardless of the location. Whether I am in Makkah al-Mukarramah, al-Madinah al-Munawwara, or whether I am at some holiday destination, regardless of time, whether it is the month of Rajab, the month of Sha'ban, the month of Ramadan, or it is any other time of the year, regardless of circumstances, favorable or unfavorable, regardless of my situation, whether I am in adversity or prosperity, grant me a thabat fil amr. In every situation, allow me to be firmly established on deen." That's the dua. How do I actively pursue that? How do I show Allah that is what I want? There are many ways. I will share three with you this afternoon. Number one, you must engage in spiritual exercises every single day of your life. Absolutely important. There must be a time during the day that you dedicate to spiritual exercises. Whether it is the first part of the morning, which is obviously the best time to dedicate and to set aside for spiritual exercises. Al-Khalwa Allah. Moments of solitude with Allah. You engage in dua, you engage in the tilawah of the Quran, you engage in some dhikr. This must be a daily, it must be a daily practice. If I want athabata fil amr, if I want to enjoy steadfastness upon all of deen. Number two, I must introduce in my home quality family ibadah time. So one is al-khalwa ma'allah, your moments of solitude with Allah on a daily basis. Then there must be quality family ibadah time where you gather your wife and your children, and together as a family you engage in spiritual exercises. Whether it is after Asr, whether it is after Maghrib, at a time that is suitable. But this must be carried out within the home on a daily basis in order for you to have the dua answered. Al-thabat ala al-amr. Spend 5 minutes in the tilawah of the Quran, 10 minutes, each one reciting Surah Al-Mulk or Surah Yasin, whatever it may be. Then spend time in a common dhikr. You say, today we are going to recite the most beloved words of praise to Allah, each one 100 times. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Then engage in some ta'aleem, the recital of a hadith or two, and conclude with a congregation of dua. This must be introduced. If you want athabat fil amr, you want to remain consistent upon deen, not only will you remain consistent upon deen, but your children, your progeny, the family to come, and they will remember that moment. They will not remember the moments wherein you had allowed them to utilize the device so that they are preoccupied. Those are not the moments that they will remember in the future when you have departed from this world. They will remember the moments wherein you had gathered them, through which they could remain engaged in an activity that connected them to their Maker and their Creator. الثبات في الأمر. So that's number two. Ways to ensure that we are actively pursuing the first part of this dua. There are many other ways through which. One other important advice that the ulama give is keep the company of those who are steadfast upon al-amr, who are steadfast upon deen. Because your company defines you. If you want to understand a person, his nature, his temperament, his habits, then you only need to look at his company. So maintain a relationship with those who already enjoy al-thabata al-amr. So that's the first thing Rasulullah made, first thing he made dua for. اللهم إني أسألك الثبات في الأمر والعزيمة على الرشد. Number two, العزيمة على الرشد. What العزيمة على الرشد? Oh Allah, I ask you to give me decisiveness in righteousness. Decisiveness in righteousness. In other words, whenever the opportunity arises for me to engage in an act of righteousness, I do not procrastinate. Decisiveness, عزيمة. I firmly decide to do it. When the call is given for the adhan, there's no hesitation. Decisiveness in righteousness. I will immediately respond. When the opportunity is there for me to look after the underprivileged, when an appeal is made to me to take care of those who are deprived, then grant me azima fi rushd, wallah, that without hesitation, according to my means, I will immediately respond. Decisiveness in righteousness. When the appeal is made to me and the call is made to me to spend some time in the path of Allah, azima ala rushd. I will immediately, decisiveness in righteousness. I ask you for that, O Allah. I don't hesitate when it comes to the opportunity to do righteousness. When there's opportunity to study deen, to study the Quran, when there's an opportunity to spend time in the company of the pious, there's nothing really holding me back from doing it. How often? We have the time, we have the opportunity. It will perhaps take up 10 minutes of our time to engage in that activity. But there is lethargy on our part. There's lethargy on our part. There is just no drive for me to take part in that amal, in that gasht, in that majlis, that is happening in the masjid, that lesson of Quran. There's just no drive. What am I lacking? Al-azimah. So, oh Allah, I ask you, al-azimah al-rushd. Allow me to enjoy decisiveness in righteousness. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-thabata fi al-amr wal-azimata al-rushd wa as'aluka mujibati rahmatik. The third thing, oh Allah, I ask you to occupy me in every such action that will envelope me in your mercy. Mujibat rahmatik. How can I actively pursue that which I am making dua for? The most effective way to enjoy Allah's rahmah, His mercy, His love, compassion and kindness is explained to us in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhumur Rahman. Irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fis sama. Those who have mercy towards others, those who have love for others, those who treat others with compassion, Allah will envelop them in His mercy. Rahmah. Have rahmah towards others. Ask Allah to fill the heart with rahmah. The more rahmah you have towards others, the more mercy you have within your heart. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah filled your heart with rahmah. That's why you were compassionate towards them and merciful towards them, and that's what attracted them to you. So if you want to attract the mercy of Allah, have rahmah within the heart. Show mercy, compassion, love, kindness towards others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will envelope you in that. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مُوجِبَاتِ رَحْمَتِكَ وَعَزَائِمَ مَغْفِرَتِكَ Oh Allah, I ask you to occupy me in every such action that will earn me your forgiveness. Again, there are many ways through which we can earn the forgiveness of Allah. One of the most effective ways, the ability, the readiness, and the willingness to forgive those who have done you wrong. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ Allah says, forgive others, forgive them. In turn, Allah will forgive you. It's so easy to earn the forgiveness of Allah. Forgiveness is first personal, then divine. You can never expect Allah to forgive you for the crimes that you have committed, for the violations that you have exercised against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are not prepared to forgive the one who has violated your rights, or who has done you wrong, or who has insulted you, or who said something to you that you did not appreciate. Forgive others, Allah will forgive you. وَعَزَائِمَ مَغْفِرَتِكَ وَأَسْأَلُكَ شُكْرَ نِعْمَتِكَ وَحُسْنَ عِبَادَتِكَ Oh Allah, I ask you to keep me constantly appreciative of every ni'mah of yours that I enjoy. شُكْرَ نِعْمَتِكَ What are the signs that I am shakir? That I have shukr within my heart. That I'm appreciative. That I have this quality of shukr. That I am thankful towards Allah. What is the sign? And Rasulullah would make dua all the time to remain in a constant state of shukr, regardless of the circumstance. After dua, after a salah, Rasulullah says, never leave out the dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik wa shukrik. Help me remain in a state of shukr all the time, O Allah. رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي لَكَ شَكَّارًا لَكَ ذَكَّارًا لَكَ رَهَّابًا لَكَ مِطْوَعًا لَكَ مُخْبِتًا إِلَيْكَ أَوَّاهَ مُنِيبًا Another dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي لَكَ شَكَّارًا Oh Allah, make me one who is absorbed constantly in a state of shukr. How do I know I possess? There are many signs. I'll share three with you. Number one, shukr demands humility from you. When Allah blesses you with a ni'mah, whether it is of a worldly nature or a spiritual nature, it never creates within me a sense of superiority, but it creates within me humility. That's the first sign that a person has shukr. The higher you ascend spiritually or materially, the higher you ascend, the more humble you become. Number two, second sign of shukr, is you share the bounty that Allah has bestowed upon you. You share that ni'mah with others. You readily share it with others. You look for the opportunity to share that ni'mah with others, whether it is in the form of knowledge, a skill that you have acquired, wealth that Allah has allowed you to enjoy, an asset that you possess, the position that you enjoy. Whatever the ni'mah may be, through it, أحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. Do good to others the way Allah done ihsan to you. And if Allah uses you to fulfill the needs of others, then understand Allah has seen good in your heart. If Allah sends people to you with needs that they have, you do not know the person, or you might know the person. You never expected the person to come to you, but the person presents a need before you. Understand Allah has seen khair and good in your heart. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he would tear, he would become excited when someone would come with a need to him. He would become so happy and he would be so humbled, and he would say, Allah chose me to fulfill your need. I am part of Allah's plan. Allahu Akbar. So that's the second sign of shukr. You share with others what Allah has given you. And if no one is coming to you, then it's something to be concerned about. The third sign that I have the quality of shukr is I use the ni'mah the way Allah has prescribed and in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has endorsed. The way Allah has asked me to utilize ni'mah. What else did the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dua for? وَأَسْأَلُكَ شُكْرَ نِعْمَتِكَ وَحُسْنَ عِبَادَتِكَ. Oh Allah, allow me to make your ibadah in the best possible way. Excellence in my ibadah. وَأَسْأَلُكَ قَلْبًا سَلِيمًا. Oh Allah, grant me a clean heart. Bless me with a clean heart. هُوَ الْقَلْبَ الَّذِي يَخْلُو مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَالْحِقْدِ وَالْحَسَدِ. It is a heart, a clean heart, قَلْبًا سَلِيمًا. It is a heart that is free from shirk, malice, bitterness. Grant me a clean heart, oh Allah. Purify my heart. There are so many things we can do to actively pursue that dua. Our time is up already. Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would make dua after that for lisan and sadiqa, the tongue. Oh Allah, allow me to utter and say that which is truthful, that which will not break the heart of the next person, that which will not tarnish the reputation of another, that which will not cause disunity, that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will bring people together, fill the hearts with joy. And oh Allah, such words that will be a sort of enlightenment and not a source of distress for others. لسان صادقة وأسألك من خير ما تعلم. I ask you of all good which you know of. وأعوذ بك من شر ما تعلم. I seek refuge and protection from all the evil that you know of. وأسألك من خير ما تعلم. وأعوذ بك من شر ما تعلم. وأسألك أن تغفر لي ما تعلم. Forgive me for all that you know. You know exactly what I have done, O Allah, throughout my life. Forgive me for it. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. Undoubtedly, you are the most knowledgeable of all that is hidden. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.